You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's March 27th, 2025, and welcome to another episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every week I bring you my video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek delivered to you in just 15 minutes. Thank you for tuning into the show this morning. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about my predictions for the upcoming Nintendo Switch 2 Direct, which is happening next week. But first, let's check out the latest gaming news. And this week's story is from IGN's Adam Bankhurst. And like a phoenix from the ashes, or maybe Jason Voorhees bursting through your door, you thought they were dead, but Game Informer is back. After being unceremoniously dumped by the jerkwads at GameStop late last year, the legendary publication is returning. In a statement from editor-in-chief Matt Miller, they say that the entire team that was in place when they were shut down has returned to resume their work. They've already posted a bunch of reviews and features to try and cover that gap in time while they were gone, which is cool. And they plan to bring the magazine back as well in the future. How they came back is also, I think, fairly interesting. Apparently, Gunzilla Games bought the rights to GI. And if you're unfamiliar with Gunzilla, you're probably not alone. They apparently published a free-to-play extraction battle royale game called Off the Grid, which I've also never heard of. So despite having a game publisher now signing their checks, Miller insists that the Game Informer will remain editorially independent, as they always have been. So that's good news. Gunzilla is also apparently highly involved in blockchain and Web3 and cryptocurrency and all those things that I will never ever understand, no matter how many times someone tries to explain it to me. I gotta admit, it gives me a little bit of pause. You know, their new owners, it almost feels like they went from one financially shaky corporate owner to another. I definitely was expecting and probably would have preferred, you know, if the staff had somehow managed to get the rights to the brand themselves and, you know, created a Patreon similar to what MinMax has done. But, you know, I'm just happy to see everybody back to work. So I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. I just hope that they don't end up victimized again when the whole crypto thing finally collapses for good. Next Wednesday at 7 a.m. Central Time is the Nintendo Direct, when they'll be finally revealing everything we need to know about the upcoming and highly anticipated Switch 2. Not to be mistaken for the Nintendo Direct happening this morning about the Switch 1. I'm expecting that we'll finally know the release date, price, and games that are coming to the console. And I will be breaking down all of the reveals and news the next day on the podcast. But this week, I thought it would be fun to take our final stab at guessing what we're going to be finding out about the Switch 2. It's always fun to try and guess this stuff, and this is it. This is the last chance to do it. After next week, we're going to know the whole shebang. So let's get to it. First are the games. So we know there's a new Mario Kart coming. We also know that Metroid Prime 4 is arriving soon. That's probably going to be cross-platform is my guess, but I think the Switch 2 is going to launch with an all-new 3D Mario game. And I think being that this is the first ever Nintendo console to launch as a 2, you know, as a direct follow-up, I think we're gonna get a Super Mario Odyssey 2. That just feels right to do. I thought Odyssey was absolutely incredible, and I want to see Cappy again. That gameplay mechanic is still ripe for a lot of really cool creative ideas. So, fingers crossed. I think Mario Kart 10 will probably be the big holiday game launching later this year. I don't think Mario Kart on its own is a great launch title, even though it's a game that everybody wants and everybody loves and you expect it to be in that lineup. I just don't know if it's a marquee launch title. So I think that comes out towards the end of the year. And in between, I think, you know, we're going to get that Metroid Prime 4, which I think will be cross-generational. And, you know, that's maybe summer, July or August kind of game. I also think we'll get some weird first-party launch title, something new, not too far off of the, you know, 1-2 Switch that's going to show off some of the new tech in the Joy-Cons. You know, they've got that weird like mouse functionality, and I'm sure they're going to have some ridiculous mini games to show that off. As far as third party, you know, Ubisoft has historically been a big partner for Nintendo consoles. So maybe we get an Assassin's Creed title. They could maybe pull off like a slightly scaled down version of Shadows. I think that'd be cool. I think Microsoft continues to bring some of their big games to the platform, and I would bet money that Sea of Thieves is one of the first to hit the Switch too. So I'm going to predict that we see that. And to throw a total wild card into the mix, since those 2D, 3D games are all the rage now with RPG fans, I'm going to guess that Square Enix gives us a remake of Chrono Trigger with that style. That would definitely get all the RPG junkies on board. Next is the date, and my guess, based on the reading of tea leaves and looking into a crystal ball and wishing on a star, is Friday, May 23rd. Now, that might seem really soon, but I think there are a couple of things that point to around this time. First is that I think they would love to get this thing out around the start of summer, you know, for kids, you know, that are going to be out of school, families that are going to be going on vacations and got long car rides and plane rides. Having a brand new Switch would be very appealing right about then. Also, rumor is that they've been kind of ready with this thing for a while. So I think, you know, they've probably got plenty of them ready to rock. And don't forget, the original Switch launched just 7 weeks after they announced the release date for that. So go ahead, circle May 23rd on your calendars. Finally, there's the price. This one has been the topic of much discussion. The original Switch launched at $299, but that seems pretty impossible, I think, this time around. Some analysts think it'll launch at $499 due to the recent tariffs put in place, but I don't see that happening either. Nintendo, first and foremost, has always wanted to make their devices appealing for families. So I think $499 is just, it's outside of that comfort zone for a lot of families. So I think they're going to split the difference, and I think it'll launch at $399. It's definitely, you know, on the higher end of what they've done in the past, but it's also, it's not wildly out of bounds for what new consoles go for right now. You know, and maybe a few other things, you know, as far as other things they could reveal during the show. My guess is that they'll reconfirm their commitment to the Switch Online service. with announcements of a couple of new games coming to the platform when it launches. And I think we'll finally see GameCube titles added to the service in the future. I also hope we get a good look at the new UI. You know, I'm still shocked that the Switch never got any sort of revision or redesign of that UI in its entire lifetime. It was not amazing. I'm really hoping we'll get something that's a little more attractive. So those are my thoughts. I'm curious what you think. Am I way off base, or does that seem kind of about right? We're gonna know very soon, next Wednesday, and don't forget to tune in to next Thursday's episode when I will share all of the big news. This week I'm cracking open another time capsule, and inside we've got Stunt Race FX, the 1994 racer, which was released for the Super Nintendo, developed by Nintendo and Argonaut Software. This was the second game to use the Super FX chip, which allowed the Super Nintendo to render full 3D models. The first, of course, being the classic original Star Fox game. And Stunt Race FX is available now on the Switch Online service, which is where I played it. So the first thing I gotta say is that I was pretty sure that I had played this game before. In that cobweb-filled head of mine, I remembered having a pretty good time with it as a kid. So I was pretty excited to revisit it to see if it held up. Once I started, though, I realized, oh, I've never played this before. And after a minute, I realized the game I was actually thinking of was Uniracers, that unicycle racing game, also on the Super Nintendo, which is quite cool. Stunt Race FX, on the other hand, sucks. I don't even know where to start with this game. It is a 30-year-old video game, so I'm going to excuse the fact that from a game design perspective, it's very simple. You know, race around a track, use your boost, collect your health if you hit a wall. The end. You know, whatever. That's kind of what a lot of racing games were back in the mid-90s. I'll even excuse the incredibly simple graphics. Like I said, 30-year-old 3D game, it is what it is. The big problem is that this game controls and runs absolutely terribly. The handling is just unresponsive and out of control. It doesn't feel like you're driving your vehicle. It's more like if you were in the back seat trying to wrestle the steering wheel away from someone who was trying to drive it off the road. It feels like the car reacts like, I don't know, half a second after you tell it what to do. It's just not good. And on top of that, it runs worse than it controls. I don't know what the frame rate is here, but off the top of my head, I'm going to guess like 10 frames per second. It absolutely chugs to the point where I was actually starting to feel a little queasy while playing it. Plus, the pop-in is wild. The track will just appear in front of you like a second or two before you get there. It's unpleasant to play in every conceivable way. It's just not good. It's not good. So do yourself a favor. Grab that time capsule over there. Open it back up. Put Stunt Race FX back inside. And bury it as deep as you possibly can so that nobody ever finds it. And maybe go play Uniracers. Before we go, I want to remind you all that this Monday, March 31st, is International Transgender Day of Visibility. Since 2009, this has been a day to celebrate the transgender community and to bring awareness to trans issues. And I don't know if there's ever been a more important year for people to do that than right now. This year, the trans community has been increasingly under attack from conservatives, Republicans, and the current administration. And while it sometimes seems like there's nothing we can do against overwhelming evil and power of those trying to commit cultural genocide, but there are absolutely things we can do to fight back. You know, start with just voicing your support and your love, whether that's a post on Facebook or Blue Sky, or, you know, putting a little pride flag on your lawn, or emailing your local representatives. You could also look for events or rallies going on this weekend. There's probably going to be some in most metro areas. Everybody likes a good excuse to make a sign. I'm going to be at the St. Paul State Capitol on Monday. Or you can donate to a charity like Trans Lifeline, the Trans Youth Equality Foundation, or the Transgender Law Center. Our actions might sometimes feel small, but if hundreds or thousands or millions of people make a little splash, you end up with a giant damn wave. So get out there and show your love. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I really appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. So until next time, be well and happy gaming. Thank you.